Well, I have the privilege of being last because I'm able to give you something that your beds have not given you yet this week, sleep. So if I put you to sleep, then itself is a mercy. But we're going to look at a passage this evening, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, reading the first 11 verses. So we're focusing on this passage of Scripture. I'll read it, and then we'll pray. So 2 Corinthians 1, 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so too through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also have helped us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayers of many. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it is the bread of life. And so as you give us this opportunity to open it, to crack it open, and to take a slice out of your word this evening, we pray that you would nourish our souls, that you would comfort our hearts, and that you would particularly apply to us the very consolation of Jesus Christ to help us walk by faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Kids, I'm going to tell you something. You are on a journey, a mission, an adventure. And I know you guys know all about missions and adventures because, well, you still have an imagination, unlike your parents, but because this is what you read, this is what you see. You guys are, you know, Frodo. He was on a mission. He had an adventure. You know of Luke Skywalker. He had a mission. Even Batman had all sorts of adventures. One of the things I'm required to do with my daughter is watch Dora with her, and she goes on adventures. And as you know, on any adventure, you need a backpack. You need a suitcase. You needed a utility belt. But in order for you to take one, you need to know what your trip is going to be like. You have to know what do you need to pack for your adventure. Well, I'm going to tell you what your adventure is going to be like. And it's something that adults typically don't like to tell you, but I'm going to tell it anyways. Your adventure is going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. It won't always be fun. Now, life has much fun in it, a lot of good, but your adventure is going to be challenging. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be cold rivers that you're going to have to wade through, and that icy water will freeze your feet. On the trail, there'll be bears, there'll be snakes and spiders, even bandits. There will be dangers, all sorts. And so you have to be prepared. Well, As Paul is writing to the Corinthians, he is helping them with this very thing. For they also didn't like to hear the fact that their Christian life was going to be hard, that it was going to have suffering and difficulties. They didn't want to hear it at all. In fact, that was one reason why they weren't particularly fond of Paul at this time. For in Corinth, some false teachers came in. And guess what Paul called these false teachers? You know the answer. Put your hand down. He called these false teachers the super apostles. Now, he probably coined this term, but basically he said these false teachers came in, they had a big A on their chest. They said, look at my tights, look at my cape. We're the super apostles. And they basically said, we are apostles that are just like the 12. We're just as good as Peter and others. And they said, the Christian life, there should be no suffering. It should be all glory. It should be all sweet and roses and candy and games. That's what they said. In fact, they made fun of Paul because he suffered so much. And we'll talk a little bit more about how much Paul suffered. But the 2 Corinthians is full of these lists of how much Paul suffered. Abandoned at sea, cold and exposure, shivering on the road. All these things Paul went through, and the super apostles looked at him and said, him, apostle? Come on. That means he's God-cursed. Anybody who has that bad of luck to be beaten 10 times and to be abandoned and to be poor, that means God doesn't love Paul. He's a fake. We're the real ones. So Paul is going to the Corinthians, and he's helping them to see this is how you have to walk by faith amid hardships. This is what you need in your backpack along your journey towards heaven. Now, a little bit of history, because Paul, as he is helping the Corinthians to see that affliction is the norm of their life, it's the norm of their Christian experience, he's using himself and his own story to help them. So it's good to have a little bit of background about where Paul is when he's writing this letter. Now, you guys might be somewhat familiar with Acts. And in Acts 18, Paul showed up in Corinth. And Corinth was a big city. It was the L.A. of the day. And he showed up there, and hustle and bustle, and he starts preaching the gospel, and he planted a church. Well, then, he was there about a year and a half, and then he had to take off. So he went back to Jerusalem. Then he came back to another city like Ephesus. And Ephesus is like the New York City of the day. I mean, it was a big city. So he's in Ephesus, and he's there for 3 years, the years A.D. 52 to 55. And he's there. Well, Ephesus is here, Corinth is here, and there's the Aegean Sea. So you could take a quick boat ride over. Well, he's in Ephesus, and he hears it from Timothy. Things are exploding in Corinth. Things are such a mess that he has to hop on a quick boat ride, sail across, go to Corinth, and he calls this the painful visit. They were being so disobedient, he had to show up with a paddle. And he had to correct these Corinthians. But guess what? It didn't go that well. He left not so sure if that congregation was going to survive. He went back to Ephesus, he's preaching there, and he's worried to death they're going to implode. So what does he do? He writes a letter we don't have. It's called the painful or tearful letter, another strong letter of rebuke, and he gives it to his friend Titus, and he says, okay, Titus, take this letter and take it to the Corinthians, and then I want you to meet me in Troas, because I'm going to go back to Corinth, but I'm not going to sail, I'm going to go up and around by land. So Titus goes out. Paul is, as he goes on, he says he's sick to death because he's worrying about the Corinthians. Are they okay? And now he's starting to worry about Titus. So now he leaves Ephesus. He goes to Troas. And in Troas, things are going pretty well. People are knocking on his door and saying, hey, Paul, tell me about this Jesus. Tell me about this gospel. He's got all this opportunity to preach. Everybody's really excited about it. But Paul is sick. he's like, where's Titus? Titus was supposed to meet me in Troas, and he's not here. Every time someone knocked on the door, he's like, Titus? It's not Titus. Even though he had all this great opportunity in Troas, he's like, I got to go on. I got to see if Titus is okay. I've got to find out about these Corinthians. Are they okay? I mean, the relationship's so bad, he's kind of wondering, did they put concrete shoes on Titus and throw him in the sea? I mean, is he still even alive? So now he sails over, he goes over to Macedonia, which is just north of Corinth. And he's there, and he's with the churches, visiting other churches, and he's still wondering, oh my goodness, what is going on? I mean, have you guys ever had your dad, maybe he goes on a business trip where he's out, and he didn't text you. He didn't email you. He didn't call. And you're wondering, is that all right? Is he going to call? Did something go wrong with his plane? And you're worried, right? You're like, is it dad okay? Well, this is how Paul felt about Titus and the Corinthians. Well, finally, he's in Macedonia late one night, sitting around the coffee table, and Titus walks up. And Titus knocks on that door, and guess what Titus says? The Corinthians are okay. They heard your letter, and they repented. They fixed some of these problems. And I'm okay, too. Paul, after all that worrying, it's been months and months. He's been sick beside himself, and he's relieved. And it's at that point that he now picks up pen and writes this letter with that comfort in him. And now he wants to use that comfort that Christ gave him and help the Corinthians to see that through all their affliction, there is help. So know what he says. He begins here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our mercies, the God of all comfort. You can imagine why Paul would write this. After all these months of worrying and fretting and having hardships, he says God is the of all comfort. And know why. He says, who comforts us in all our affliction. And he wants to be very broad here. God helps us in all our hardships. This word for affliction can be used for being hungry. Do you get grumpy when you get hungry? I know I do. My kids know it when I'm hungry, and I get grumpy, right? Well, this is part. It covers hunger. It covers thirst. It covers struggles financially. Obviously, it covers persecution, but also worries and anxieties, caring for others. All these things, Paul wants to say, God comforts you in all of them. So if you're playing on the baseball team, if you're struggling in class, if your friends at school are being mean to you, God helps you in all those things, all those afflictions. That's what Paul wants to say. Afflictions is the norm of your life. Your journey and your adventure will be difficult, but God comforts the whole time. He has given you a tool, a medicine to put in your backpacks to help you and comfort you along this way. But note also, as he starts to describe our sufferings, and I think this is very important, note verse 5, he says, we have all this affliction, God comforts us, but he says, we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. Thus, when you suffer, you suffer united to Christ. Did Christ suffer for you, kids? Did he have a hard life, or was his life all easy? No, it wasn't easy at all, was it? Now, we know that, you know, when we talk about Christ's sufferings, we think typically of the cross. That was the hardest thing, being nailed to a cross and all those hardships. But there's a lot of other things that Christ suffered. Indeed, Paul's point is, Christ suffered everything that you have ever suffered, kids. He suffered all. He was a kid, you know that? And he had a mom. You know what? Jesus, more than likely, even got disciplined by his mom. We know Jesus was without sin, but Mary might not have all known that. In fact, in Luke 2, when Jesus is left behind in the temple, Joseph comes up and is like, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be with us. Jesus' brother and sister might have told on him and blamed him. Jesus might have got spanked when he was innocent, because we know he didn't sin. He got sick, he got coughs and colds, he went to school, You know, when Jesus was six, he went to synagogue school. And you know what they do in synagogue school? One of the first things they taught kids? It's a wonderful thing. Something I'm going to teach my kids. And then they'll leave me. No. They started memorizing Leviticus. That's what they did in Hebrew. They called them murmuring houses because when you walked by, you heard all the kids memorizing Leviticus, repeating the Hebrew over and over and over again. Jesus went through classes. Do you guys like school all the time? No. It's not all. Some people say they do. But school can be hard. Jesus went through all of that. He went through those struggles. He had friends that betrayed him, obviously Judas, but even his family gave him cold shoulders at times. His family thought, man, this Jesus is a little crazy. So Jesus has experienced all your sufferings in all the ways that you have suffered. And that's so important to remember. He got hungry, headaches, indigestion. He was lonely. All these things he suffered. And I think this is important because it teaches us that your suffering, all of our suffering, is not unique. What's our tendency is when we go through a hardship is to think, nobody knows what I'm feeling. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Indeed, it's stubborn arrogance to say, nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody's experienced what I'm going through. And sure, in some ways, that is true. I mean, you are you and your circumstances are you. But your suffering is human. It's what everybody experienced. It's what Christ experienced. And Paul's trying to say, God comforts you in everything, and Jesus knows exactly how you're feeling. Because he was 7 years old too. He was three. He was 14. He was 25. He went through all those stages. He experienced that suffering. And so, because we suffer with Christ, we suffer as Christ did. Indeed, we share in his sufferings. This is so important to remember that we're not alone and that he is with us. Indeed, this becomes then the foundation of our comfort because Christ suffered with us, suffered as us, with us. He is then able to comfort. So know what Paul says in the second part of verse 5. We share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. So Christ is able to comfort you. Indeed, if you know you're going to have a hard sports practice, if your piano teacher is going to grill you and make you do all sorts of things, if you know you have a very hard task in front of you, it's nice to know that you have somewhere by your side going to be there to hand you a water bottle or to encourage you along the way. Well, Christ is your high priest who is there to comfort you and to help you. But note also that it's not just Christ, and we're going to get more to the way Christ comforts you in a second, but note also the way Christ comforts you also through Paul. Note he says here in verse 4, God comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in many afflictions with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So Paul is thanking God not only for being comforted by God, but particularly he's thankful that he suffered and been comforted so that then he can comfort others. So Christ doesn't just comfort you himself, but he gives you friends, family, your church to comfort you. And Paul here is like, I'm here to comfort you. And what does he comfort us with? He comforts us with the very comfort that God has given him. So in that sense, Paul is like taking the comfort, the tools and the medicine that God gave him, and he's passing them on to the Corinthians. He's passing them on to you. And I think this is important. Note here, Paul is thankful that now he can help others. He's not just thankful, I went through hard times, and God helped me, and that's great. But he's particularly thankful that because I went through hard times, I'm able to help others. Hodge, in this passage, said this, a life of ease is commonly stagnant, but a life with much suffering is a life rich in experience and resources. If you're watching one of your adventures. It really wouldn't be a good Batman episode if he didn't fight anybody, right? I mean, that doesn't make sense. What good would Frodo's journey be or mission be if it was all just him walking and riding on a scooter the whole way and didn't have to walk or anything? But no, now, and this is the thing, Frodo, he never chose to necessarily endure those hardships. He didn't want to go hungry. He didn't want to have to climb up the hills of Mordor. But he knew he had to because it was the right thing to do. But was Frodo better in the end for going through all those things? Yeah. He's better. Going through those hardships makes you better. You experience life. You've been through these things. And because of that, you're able to help others. And so Paul is saying, my suffering I didn't choose. My hardship I didn't like. I didn't enjoy it. This isn't fun. Indeed, he's not saying I sit there like one of those tough guys saying, you know, punch me again, it feels good. No. Paul is, you know, he's not saying that. He's not saying that this is enjoyable. He doesn't choose the suffering, but he chooses to do right, which brings all this hardship. But then even after this, he's thankful because why? It equips him, makes him wiser, makes him more understanding, makes him more compassionate so that he can help others. And that's what he's doing to the Corinthians. He's like, this suffering stunk, but I'm thankful I went through it because now, Corinthians, I can help you. That's what Paul's saying, and he's thankful. And it's so important that we understand that how does Christ comfort you? Well, one of the key ways he does it is through fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is one of his tools. We've heard about the importance of the church. And Paul is saying the church is one of the instruments, other saints who have also suffered, that Christ used to give you the balm of Christ. Also note what the kind of goal of this comfort is. Note that, you know, he says, I've been comforted by Christ. This has been medicine to my soul, and I can pass it on to others who are also going through hardships. But note what he says. He says, verse 6, if we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. What's the point? Why does God give you this comfort? Why does he give you these tools in your utility belt? Why does he fill up your backpack with all this help? Is it so that suffering stops? No. It's so that you can keep going. It's so that you can keep going. The Lembras bread that Frodo had, it kept him going. And that is all this is to keep moving. So you don't stop along the way. So you don't, when you stumble along the path, you don't just lay there and give up, but you press on by faith, knowing that God gives you this medicine, so you keep walking by faith, even amid the hardships, the pains, etc. In fact, that is, in many ways, the whole point of the comfort. The comfort's there to keep you walking by faith. It's not meant to take your faith away. Only glory does that. Only glory turns faith into sight. But the comfort is there to help you continue to walk by faith through the hardships, through the difficulties. But there's a particular character, particular flavor to this comfort. If you're going to eat ice cream, you don't just eat ice cream. You get to pick what flavor. Well, there's a particular flavor to this medicine. As you probably know, maybe you wigged your parents out once, you got in the medicine cabinet, and they're like, no, don't eat that, Medicine can be very harmful if taken in the wrong way, the wrong doses, those sorts of things, if it's not meant for you. But when medicine is used rightly, it works wonders. Well, there's a particular prescription to this comfort, a particular nature and flavor to it. And again, Paul uses himself as an example here. Note verses 8 and 9. So he's telling them about that he's here to comfort them, and now he tells them a little story about something that seems to have happened quite recently. It says, for we don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Now, we don't know what Paul went through here. We don't know exactly what happened. He doesn't tell us. But whatever Paul suffered, in his book, he gives this huge long list. He talks about being afloat at sea for days. He talks about being stoned. He talks about being whipped 39 times, 5 times. You know, Paul, the Jews, when you got in trouble in a synagogue, they would whip you 39 times. And he had that 5 times. That's 195 lashes from the whip. And the way they did this, when they whipped you, they'd take your shirt off, they'd whip you a third of the times on the chest, and then the rest on the back. And we don't know what Paul is talking about here. But whatever the situation, it could have been a bandit on the road. Maybe he got mugged. Maybe a bear came over. We don't know. He says he experienced all these things. And Asia, the roads were really hazardous then. There was thieves and bandits all over the place. But whatever this was, Paul saw this situation, and he says what? He despaired of life itself. You know what that means? Paul thought he was going to die. He basically said, this is it. God's taken me now. He was scared. He was worried, and he said, this is the end of the road for me. This is the end of my adventure. I'm going to die. In fact, he says here, indeed we felt we'd received the sentence of death. Probably here better, we had the answer of death, meaning Paul is in his mind in the situation, and he's like, how can I get out of this? How's the Lord going to help me get out of this? And he's answering all these questions. You know, right, when Batman's in trouble at the end, he's thinking, how can I escape? What tool do I still have left in my grip? And he always escapes. Well, Paul has been through a lot, and he's always got out. Well, this time, his utility belt was empty. There was nothing Paul had, and he's like, it's over. I'm gonna die. Now, it's very easy for us to be curious. Why did Paul, or what was going on? Was this the Roman government? Was it the Jews? Was this a bear? Was it the sea? What was this? But Paul doesn't tell us why. I mean, we want to know why. Because it ultimately doesn't matter what it was. It matters how he felt. He felt despaired unto death. It's over. And that's something you will feel at times. Sometimes in our lives we said, it's it. I just don't have any more in me. I'm all pooped. I have no more fuel in me. Just give up. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this hardship. I don't know how I'll survive this cancer. I don't know what I'm going to do. We sometimes despair of life itself, just as Paul did. That's what matters. Not what happened exactly to make him despair. When he was shivering, scared, thinking, it's over. What matters is what comes next. Note he says, why did this happen? But that, in the middle of verse 9, was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God. When all was lost, when the battle was over, when Paul laid his head down, closed his eyes, and said, okay, Lord, take me now. At that moment, Paul, God used that hardship to say, rely on me, not your own wisdom, not your own strength, not your money, not all the things, the scheming and the planning that we use to get out of difficulties. He said, rely on me. Indeed, isn't that the essence of walking by faith? Is that we walk believing where our strength comes from is not ourselves, but God. But note, he goes on. It wasn't just that he would rely on God, but he relies on God who raises the dead. As he lay down there, closing his eyes, what was he thinking? What was he trusting in? He was trusting in the resurrection. That's what was his comfort. That was the flavor of his comfort. That's the prescription that God has given him, the resurrection of the dead. To know that if we lose all things, we have the most precious, the most golden possession we could ever want, the resurrection of the dead. Indeed, note how he says, goes back, he says, verse 5, through Christ we share abundantly in comfort. Where does this comfort come from? Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead himself. He is the one who also despaired unto death. My God, why have you forsaken me? If anyone was scared of death, if anybody thought it was completely black, it was Christ. But Christ clung to his Father, even to be God forsaken, even to have his own Father close his eyes to Jesus for that moment on the cross. And because of that, because he was obedient even in that moment, Jesus earned the resurrection for him and for you. That is our comfort. That is our help. It's always the help of the resurrection. Know what he goes on and says. He says, God did deliver us from such a deadly peril. Obviously, Paul survived this deadly thing. But he says, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again and again. So, in life, we go through hardships. And oftentimes, quite often, we get through them. The Lord helps us. We lose our jobs, he gives us another one. We fail a test, he allows us to take it again. We don't make the team, we can come back and do it again. The Lord often helps us. And that's also a sign of his care, his mercy, the resurrection power. But ultimately, Paul, what was Paul looking forward to? Not any deliverance in this life, but the resurrection. And thus, our comfort isn't just that, will I get healed from this cancer? Will I get this job? Will I get into this college? It is, whether rain or sun comes, the Lord will always, ultimately, deliver me in the only deliverance that truly matters, the resurrection of the dead, flowing from the work of Christ. That's the object of our hope. That's our power. As we rest in Christ, as we rest in his resurrection, he's helping us to go on, to know my only comfort in life and his death is to know that I belong, body and soul, to my Lord Jesus Christ. This is the power for you to walk by faith. This is your gasoline that you can keep pressing on. No matter what the Lord brings, the Lord might make you wealthy, he might make you poor, he might make you a part of a big family, you might be single the rest of your life. Whatever it is, God will be with you, helping you through this and keeping you for that ultimate and only true redemption, the resurrection, which is yours now in Christ, but which we truly wait for. But note the last aspect here of verse 11. Again, the ESV doesn't help us with our translation, but it says, you have also helped us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayers of many. So far, Paul has been saying, God comfort me, because I suffered, I'm thankful that now I can comfort you in your sufferings. But he's looking to the resurrection, his true energy and power to press on. But at the end he says, by the way, Corinthians, thank you for your prayers. You also comforted me as I went through these things by your praying. Simple but profound. You helped me by your prayers. What a glorious thing. Paul was there to help the Corinthians. Meanwhile, the Corinthians are also helping him by praying. And thus, kids, you know you have to pray. You pray. You pray for the missionaries that's in the New Horizons. You pray for the missionaries that you hear about in church. You pray for your friends. You pray for all these people. You might at times, oftentimes, think, what good is these prayers? Well, they, through those simple prayers, you are actually being a comfort to those saints all around the world, some of whom you do not know, some you'll never meet, but the Lord is using your prayers to bring His resurrection comfort to those who are suffering in other parts of the world. That is the beauty of the body of Christ. Christ, as the resurrected one, comforts us. And how does He do it? He does it through our suffering as we talk and comfort one another, and He does it through our prayers. So we can comfort others, and they can comfort us. This is what your journey looks like. This is what your adventure will be like. Now, true, it doesn't always make you want to stand up and dance. Oh, great, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to have hardships. But again, you wouldn't read any of your adventure books. You wouldn't watch any of your shows if they were all boring and nice. If all they did was have if all they did was have pancakes and everything was easy. No, you watch Batman because he gets beat up. You watch the story of Frodo's great because we thought he wasn't going to make it over and over again. But that, it's through those hardships that makes God's grace perfect in your weakness, that applies that resurrection power so that He enjoys you and you truly see Him as the strength and your power. So, kids and adults, I hope that this is your comfort, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who rose that third day and will surely raise you up at the last, carrying through you through all your difficulties, all your diseases, all your persecutions, all your worries and anxieties and stresses, despairs and depressions. Christ is with you, and He will deliver you unto His everlasting blessing. This is your strength to walk by faith. Let's pray. Glorious Father, we do thank You that through the story of Paul, You show us the story of Jesus Christ. And as we see the story of Christ suffering for us, You apply to us that heavenly medicine of the power of the resurrection to help us along our pilgrim way. Lord, we know things are difficult. In our day and our age, we don't like to hear it. We like to deny it. But Lord, we know that there's hardships, and we know that this hardship is good for us because it makes us rely on God, who raises the dead. It makes us rely on Jesus, the resurrected one. And so we pray, O Father, that this grace would encourage us to always keep our eyes fixed upon the resurrected Christ, to comfort us, to keep on being faithful to You, even till the end. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.